Good morning. Welcome out to Greater Alton Church on this fine, cool Sunday morning. Very cool. My name's Mike. Welcome. If you don't know who I am, I'm Mike. Hi. I gotta confess and ask for forgiveness. I have been praying for rain, and I was not too specific yesterday. I was driving to work, and I've seen parts of Homer Adams' flood. I have never seen parts of Omer Adams' flood that were elevated. I was driving, like, it was hitting my running boards, and I was on a hill. I'm like, what is happening? I get to work yesterday. There's water everywhere. It's raining inside of our lasers through holes in the roof that weren't there before yesterday. I was like, what is going on? Woo! But my grass looks green this morning. But I couldn't see out my windows because it's so humid outside because it rains so much. So I need to ask forgiveness. I will be more specific on my prayers in the future. Oh, all that joking aside, it is great to be here this morning. The air conditioner is working, and thank Jesus for air conditioning. We are in a sermon series called Citizen. This year we've been looking at our freedom in Christ. We are free indeed. And what better way to talk about post 4th of July than talking about being a citizen. Not a citizen of the United States, though. A citizen in heaven. As you see the theme verse up there in Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. You can look at my title for the sermon this morning, Strangers and Aliens. We're not going to go down some conspiracy theory holes this morning. Don't worry about that. We're not going to talk about the grays or the little green men. We're not. No rabbits. I'm not chasing rabbits this morning. But we're going to talk about how we are strangers and aliens in this world. We're foreigners. And I know, right off the bat, some of you are thinking about immigration and how it's a really hot topic right now in our country. And I got to let you know, I'm not touching that with a 40-foot pole this morning. That is a minefield that I don't want to walk through. I will say this about it, that everything we are going to be talking about this morning is immigration adjacent. So I'm not going to tell you how to feel or how to think about that because that's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm not talking about other people. I'm talking about me and I'm talking about you and how we are strangers and aliens in this world. Let's start off this morning looking at some scripture. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "Dear friends, you are like visitors and strangers in this world. So I beg you to stay away from the evil things your bodies want to do. These things fight against your soul." Now, my sermon title comes from this passage, but the NIV version where he calls you aliens and strangers. But I don't know about you. Sometimes I need it simple. I need it simple so I can understand better. So I went to the International Children's Bible. So if a little kid can understand this passage, I should be able to as well. And it plainly tells us we are visitors. We are strangers in this world. This is not my home. I'm just visiting. I'm just here for a little while. And while I'm here, I need to stay away from the evil things that my body wants to do. I bought 2 dozen donuts yesterday for the guys at work. The leftovers came home. Yes, there were leftovers. I had a bunch of people not show up yesterday because they couldn't get out of their driveways because rain. I only had 1 donut this morning. I had no donuts last night because we went to a demolition derby out in Highland. That was fun. But in this letter, Paul is telling us that we are foreigners. I have to let you know, my passport says that I am a citizen of the United States of America. I have legal documentation. I also have a driver's license that says I live in the state of Illinois as a citizen of America. I have a FOID card that tells people I have guns, therefore I'm an American. But my real citizenship's in heaven. My real home is in heaven. That being said, how do we live as foreigners, as strangers and aliens in this world? How do I live? How does God tell me to live as a foreigner? Before we jump into that, I got to tell you something. So last summer, almost exactly a year ago, Cassie and I were hopping around Europe. We're having a great time. We went with John and Elena and Ryan and Jen Chestnut, and we went to Venice, and we went to multiple stops in Greece. We went to Croatia. Then Cassie and I went to France. It was awesome. It was a fabulous way to celebrate our anniversary. And I've talked about that up here before. While I was in Italy, was I able to live the exact same way in Italy as I am in America? No. In Venice, I couldn't even drive. You can't have cars. You can't even ride bikes in Venice. It's all walking. When I was in Greece, I couldn't live the exact same way I do in America. When I was in Croatia, I couldn't live the exact same way I do in America. When I was in France, I couldn't live the exact same way I do in America. I am not a citizen of those countries. I'm a citizen of America. They all have slightly different laws. They have different cultures. They have different ways of doing things. A really simple example, and some of you might have seen this with the World Cup in America right now. If you get a bottle of soda or water, and you go to take the cap off, the cap doesn't come off. It just hinges and stays connected to the bottle. And that's really annoying because the first time I went to take a drink, I hit my nose with the cap and I spilled the water down my shirt. It was annoying. But then you get used to it and you're like, oh, hold it to the side. Here, I saw a person, I think they were from England, I'm not quite sure, but they're like, they undo it and they're like, and then they're like, the comment was, what do they think we're going to do with the caps? Just yeet them? I'm like, it's fun. That's just a simple, funny thing. Most places don't have air conditioning. I watched a history of air conditioning and why Europeans apparently hate air conditioning. If you're ever in Europe and you book a hotel, make sure you check that it has air conditioning. Because if you don't, you're probably going to get a hotel without air conditioning. I made sure when we booked our hotels, we had air conditioning because this does not do well in heat. And let me tell you what, our apartment in Venice was chilly. It was awesome. That marble held the cold. It was beautiful. We literally were living as foreigners in a different country. We had to adjust to some things. Would you, Elena, John, would you agree with that? We had to adjust to some things. Like, there was a lot more walking than I'm used to. A lot more. There was a lot more mass transit than I'm used to. There was a lot less driving, which, you know, didn't have to pay for gas, didn't have to pay for parking. That was a benefit. But there was a lot of culture shock. There should be a culture shock for us living here. Because I'm a citizen of heaven first. In scripture, we see God commanding the Israelites in the Old Testament how to live as foreigners. He gives them commands about living and working for the peace of the community in which they live. He gives them commands to sink down roots and to farm and to grow your family in the land that I'm making you live in right now. He gives them commands. He also gives them commands on how to treat foreigners. Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, they all say, do not mistreat foreigners because you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. There's all these commands about strangers and foreigners in the Old Testament. But you know, there was once a guy who asked Jesus a question, what's the most important command? And in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40, it says this, Teacher, which is the greatest command in the law? And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. You see, the Old Testament is full of law, and it's full of guidelines that the prophets sent Israel. And when you get to the book of Micah chapter 6 verse 8, the Mike D. paraphrase, God tells Micah to tell the Israelites to seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. So all the commands and all the prophets are boiled down to these three commands in the book of Micah. But then Jesus takes it a step further in this passage. When this young man, who probably thought he was going to get the cheat sheet to the law, to living a way that honors the law, Jesus says, you can take what Micah said and boil it down to two. You can boil it down to two. Love God and love people. Again, the Mike D paraphrase of that passage. Love God and love people. So, essentially, he did get a cheat sheet. He just didn't realize he was getting the cheat sheet. My responsibility is to love God and to love people. If I take that and apply it to how I live as a citizen, what do I find out? Well, number one, I remember my allegiance. I remember my allegiance. That first command, love God. Love God. Last week in Gary's lesson, his last point was, I have a king. I have a king. And if you haven't listened to his lesson or Tim's lesson, I highly suggest you go to the website and you listen to it, because it gives you a little bit more foundation of what we're talking about here. But if I love God, I'm going to remember my allegiance. In John 18, verse 36, Jesus says this, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world. Jesus plainly tells us that he is a king and he has a kingdom. And then if we look at Philippians 3, 20 through 21, it says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself. Paul tells the Philippian church that we are citizens of the kingdom that Jesus is talking about in John 18. I am a citizen of the kingdom. That means I have a king. That means I need to remember my allegiance when I'm living in this world. When we were globetrotting last year, we never gave up our citizenship. I was always a United States citizen, no matter what country I was in. In fact, people knew I was an American because I was loud and large. And friendly. I was also friendly. John and I, we met people. John, way more than me. John likes to talk to people. I don't know if you know that. And we made very many friends. It was great. It would be easy to live life, a life here that does not represent my citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. It'd be really easy. The thing is that when I was in those countries, I didn't start worshiping at the Parthenon, and I didn't start living a lifestyle that was so prevalent in Europe. I stayed true to my citizenship in heaven. Our culture almost demands immorality from us. If not, demands immorality from us. And I have to remember that my allegiance is to my king, and my duty is to please my king. So if I love God, if I'm focused on loving God, then I will naturally stay away from those things that Peter warned us about in 1 Peter chapter 3, the things that do harm to us, because I am focused on pleasing my king. I am focused that I am a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I joke around when I'm studying with people, when we talk about lordship, and I ask them, what makes a king a king? Some of you just thought about Monty Python, and you shouldn't. You're sinners. That's, if you don't know what I'm joking about, good on you. You're a better person than I am. But what makes a king a king? A king owns everything. That's a foreign concept to us in America, because we no kings. Our government taxes us. That's a whole nother discussion, but they don't own the land I live on. They don't own my house. I own it. But if I lived in a kingdom on this world, The king would own my land. The king would own my house. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. That means Jesus owns me. I am his servant. And I have to remember, if I want to live as a citizen of heaven in this world, I have to remember that I have a king and he owns me. And I have to remember my allegiance to him. So that's the first thing, how we live as foreigners in this world, how God tells us to. The second, and we're going to spend some time talking about this morning, is I benefit my community. So if we go back to that Matthew passage where Jesus boiled the law and the prophets down to two things, love God and love people, this would be the love people part. I benefit my community. Look what God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Love is a verb. We've all heard that, right? Love is a verb. And what makes something a verb? It's action. So if I'm going to love people, it's going to require action. I should be a benefit to the people around me. There's a stigma when you travel that French people are rude. There's a stigma about that. What we learned is that it's actually the foreigners who are rude. It's not the French people. Getting ready for our trip, we had years to prepare for our trip because I had to be able to save up the money and pay for it. And we were figuring out where we wanted to go, what we wanted to do. We settled on going to Paris, just the two of us. And we were worried about that stigma that French people are rude. And I was watching this young woman who lives in Paris talking about where the locals go. I was like, I want to go where the locals go. And she was talking about how in her favorite neighborhood, that when you go into these local bakeries and stuff, make sure you greet them before you start asking questions. Say hello, bonjour, how are you doing? Don't just walk in and say, hey, how much is this loaf of bread? Or, hey, how much is this? Because that's what we do. If I go to the grocery store right now and I need help with something, I will go find somebody working at the grocery store and I will walk up to them like, hey, I need help. I don't walk up to them and say, hey, good morning, how are you? That's just the way we are, right? This plays out. Our first night in Paris, we went walking to find a restaurant. And we found this little restaurant. And we got, literally like four tables. Only had four tables. And the waiter comes out and we're like, hello. And he's like, oh, hello, Americans. We're like, yeah, loud, large, and friendly. He's like, just the two of you? We're like, yeah, just the two of you. He goes, oh, right over here. And he pulls out the chair for Cassie and we sit down. And he goes, would you like the French menu or the English menu? And we went, English, please. And he brought us our menu and he's like, what can I get you to drink? And he's super friendly, over the top friendly. We're like, holy cow, this is awesome. And we ordered and our food came out and the chef comes up out of nowhere because it's itty bitty. They had a basement. He comes up out of these little stairs and he's talking to us, but he doesn't know English. And we're like, I think he's asking if the food's good. Oh, the food's great. Okay. And super friendly, even though we couldn't communicate, right? Then comes this other family. And they're obviously from Australia or New Zealand, depending on the accent. And they come up and they sit themselves down. And the waiter comes up and hands them their menus and they start ordering their drinks. They didn't say hello. They didn't say bonjour. They didn't say anything other than I'll have a Coke and they'll have waters. And the waiter goes, okay. They had a completely different experience than Cassie and I did because they were rude. I bring this story up because I want to be a benefit to my community. And it's a silly little story, right? But we were being a benefit. We were following their culture. We were being nice. We weren't just expecting them to serve us. It's silly. I know it's silly, but it's these little things, these little actions that can be a benefit to your community. And the rest of this sermon, I want to spend the time talking about how we can benefit our community. how God shows us we can benefit our community. And it's going to be more than just silly little things, making sure you say hello or good morning, which you should. We should all be in the habit of that, being greeting, being nice. So how should I benefit my community? You know, I wish there were stories in Scripture that showed the men and the women who lived in the times the Scripture was written that lived in foreign countries. You know, it's too bad there's no one in Scripture. And if you don't know, that's a joke, because there's tons. So, like, there's Moses. Moses, he grows up in the palace of Egypt. He's not supposed to be there. He's a Hebrew. But that's where he grows up. That's what he considers home. And then one day he has to leave Egypt because he killed a dude. And he leaves and he just stumbles through the wilderness, comes up on a well. And there's some shepherd girls who are being harassed by some other shepherds. And he runs them off and he helps them get water for their flock. And he's a benefit to his community. He ends up marrying one of the shepherd girls. He's a benefit to his community. There's Abraham. We already read in Genesis chapter 12 where God told Abraham to go to a foreign land. Leave home. Leave everything you know. And go to a land, and I'm going to make you a great nation. And you're going to be a blessing. And Abraham is a blessing to the people around him. There's Jacob. Jacob leaves home because he's kind of a shyster. But he leaves home and he goes to the land of Laban, and he's a benefit. He's a benefit in this land. If you look at the story of David, at one point when he's on the run from Saul, do you know where he goes, where he sets up camp for a little while? In Philistia. The land of the Philistines. Philistines don't like David. He's killed a bunch of them. But he lives in this city under one of the kings of the Philistines. And he is a benefit to the Philistines. That one blows my mind. I just got to put that out there. That one blows my mind. That David is a benefit to the Philistines. At one point, the Philistines are going to war against Saul. And David is going to go with them. And the other kings are like, no, not him. He used to be Saul's right-hand man. We don't trust that. And the king that David was serving was like, I need you to stay home. And David's like, okay, if that's what you want. Ended up being a good thing because some other stuff happened. Go read your Bible. It's good. But this morning, I highly suggest reading your Bible. Side note, I'm very entertained by my Bible, by the Word of God. And I know that sounds weird, that I'm entertained by Scripture. I learn a lot from Scripture too. But when you start reading Scripture and you start realizing what things are happening, there's some really funny stuff in Scripture. Really funny things. Like David serving the Philistines. That's funny to me. But just side note, read your Bible. So this morning I want to talk about three ways we can benefit our community. How should I benefit my community? Number one, God tells me to work. Mike, I thought you said, I'm going to benefit my community. That does not look like I'm benefiting my community by working. Let me get there. But number one, how should I benefit my community? God tells me to work. Let's look at Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 through 5. This is somebody I skipped over in that list of people who lived in foreign lands. This is Joseph. And it says this, the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. Time out. Real quick. If you don't know the story of Joseph, his brothers sold him into slavery. Just putting that out there. If you don't know his story, his brothers sold him into slavery. He ends up in Egypt in the house of Potiphar, and he works. He's a slave, right? He works. And Potiphar notices, hey, everything this dude does turns to gold. He's got the Midas touch. Let's put him in charge of everything. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. Hold on a minute, Mike. You're saying Joseph went and worked. And because he worked, his community was blessed. I'm not saying it. Scripture's saying it. Joseph went and worked, and his community was blessed. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 29. Usually, we look at 11 through 14 in this chapter, because God says, I have plans for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That's a great passage, but we're not looking at that this morning. We're looking at 4 through 7. We're backing it up a little bit. Jeremiah is listening to God, and he says this, Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Time out. We need to do backstory just in case you don't know the story. Israel and Judah were dumb. Stupid. They had so much time to get it right. So much time. God kept sending prophets and the law and were like, hey, do this and good things are going to happen to you. And he spells it out to him. But if you don't obey me, you're going to lose everything you got. And it wasn't like, you have 5 minutes to get it right. I'm going to count to three. One, two. No, he gave them hundreds of years. There was so much time for them to get it right. So much time. So don't just think God's a kid with a giant magnifying glass burning ants right now. God is patient and loving, and it's beautiful. The more I read scripture, the more I see God's love, not his anger. And in the Old Testament, when he gives them all these chances, this is a loving father, not a vengeful God. So let's pick it back up. God's telling them through the prophet Jeremiah, while they're in exile because they screwed up, they didn't obey him, and now they've lost their country, and they're in a foreign land. It says this, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Okay, I know this doesn't exactly tell you to work, but it tells you to do work and seek the benefit of the community. I think those two are connected, and I don't think I'm wrong. I firmly believe those are connected. If the Israelites were just bums, they would not have been a benefit to the welfare of their city. If they just sat there and consumed, instead of worked and contributed, they would not have been a benefit of the city where they were sent into exile. God is punishing them for not obeying him. But in that punishment, they are going to find a blessing. And they are going to be a blessing. They're going to build houses. That takes work. They're going to plant gardens. That takes work. I am not very good at gardening. I don't like weeding. That's a lot of work. I very much would like to take my weed eater and just go down the road, but then you lose your crops too. You have to sit there and work at it. And then how many times have you planted a garden and then only had enough food for yourself? Anybody ever plant a garden and only had enough food for themselves? They were never trying to pawn off cucumbers and tomatoes and like, hey, you want another cucumber? It's the size of your leg because it grew too long and I have 50 of them. Please take some. The Israelites are working where they're at. And because they're working, they are a benefit. You know, I have not often looked at my job as being a benefit to people outside of my immediate family. This is a source of growth for me. My shop has been on overtime the past couple of weeks. Again, I prayed for more work. I was not specific in how much work I wanted, but it's okay because God is providing and blessing and it's awesome. But there's, you know, when you get your check stub, there's like all these people you pay, like FICA and Illinois and the United States government. And it's like, but that's my money. That's my money. And trying not to be political this morning, okay? But I don't like taxes. I don't think anybody in this room likes taxes. But you know what Jesus says about taxes? Pay them. He says pay them. Dang it, Jesus. Why couldn't you say death to Rome? He says, no, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. So, you know, in theory, my taxes can be a benefit to people. In theory, my taxes can be a benefit to people. I can benefit my community by working because my taxes go to help people. At least they should. And sometimes they do. But you know what? It's not my job to make sure where the taxes are going. It's my job to pay them. That's as political as I plan on getting this morning. But it'll probably happen more. And that's just off the top. That's just when I get my check, they're gone. I have no control over that. But then, I still have money. Am I a benefit with what I have after taxes? Ooh, even bigger question. Am I a benefit with what I get before taxes? Mike, what are you talking about? Well, I'm not necessarily talking about offering and tithe. I'm talking about being a benefit. What are you doing that's a benefit to the community in which you live? There's a community right here, right now, this family that is meeting at 506 East Airline Drive. Are you a benefit to this community? There's a community that I am a part of that lives on Whispering Oaks in Bethalto. Am I a benefit to that community? There's a community at 2415 Central Avenue in Alton, Illinois. That's where I work, fabrication specialist. Am I a benefit to that community? And even in these larger communities, there's sub-communities. Like, let's just focus on this community right here. In this community, there are different little itty-bitty communities, like the youth ministry, like the kids ministry, like the Compassion in Action, or you fill in the blank. Churches on the Street. That was another one I had written down. I will not benefit my community unless I am working. And I'm not just saying unless I have a job. Love is a verb. Unless I'm not going to be a benefit unless there is action. And I am called, according to Jeremiah and according to other scriptures, to be a benefit in the community in which I live. Not to conform, because I am a citizen of heaven, but I am called to be a benefit. I'm called to seek the welfare. And I gotta put this out there, okay? I gotta put this out there. I would be dumb to not seek the benefit of my community. That would be ignorant for me not to want the community in which I live to succeed. Because I'm a part of that community. Why would I not want that community to succeed? So if I'm going to be a benefit to my community, I have to work. God tells me to work. Number two, how should I benefit my community? Well, God tells me to serve. It's different than work. Sometimes they go hand in hand. But I'm going to separate them a little bit. God tells me to serve. Look what it says here in Philippians. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. My king made himself a servant. And if I remember my allegiance to my king, I'm supposed to make my king happy. If he became a servant, why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't I? In fact, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to read a chunk of it. It's verses 9 through 17. It says this, "You were a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject to the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. That's a lot. That's a lot. If we look at Luke chapter 6 verse 31, Jesus lays down the golden rule. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Peter calls us priests, a royal priesthood. We're part of a kingdom and we're priests. Priests are supposed to be servants. They're intercessors. They're go-betweens. They're there to help you find God. They're there to help you grow in your spiritual walk. How are you doing right now at serving? You know, work is something I do and I receive something. So at work, I work, I clock in and I clock out, and I'm paid for clocking in and clocking out and the stuff I do in between. Serving is work without receiving something. So how are you doing at serving? It's love, it's action, but you're not getting anything back. And I say that knowing full well that every time I serve, I do receive something, but that's not my intention. It's not my intention. With work, my intention is to earn something. With serving, my intention is to give something. So how are you doing at serving? Right? The teens have their holy habits, right? We have the holy habits out there, right? And one of them is the helpy helperton. Look at that. I got it right. Helpy helperton. And the teens are supposed to serve. When Blythe was going through the helpy helperton stuff, she was like, I don't serve. I'm like, what do you mean you don't serve? She goes, I have nothing to write down. I go, what about when you babysat and you didn't get paid? Well, that's different. I go, what do you mean that's different? That was family. I was like, that's still serving. Or what about when you were at camp? Well, that's different. How is that different? And we had to talk about, you could still serve the people that you love. That's still service. You weren't expecting anything in return. How are you doing at serving? There are so many opportunities around here to serve. But don't let this building and this campus limit you. Because there are so many opportunities to serve in the communities in which you live. Because I don't live necessarily in the same circle of community as you guys live in. I told you I picked up donuts yesterday. That is something I learned from my dad. My dad used to be my boss. He's since retired. If he made people come in on a Saturday, he bought them donuts. And when he retired, there was no one to buy donuts. And everybody missed it. So the one day, I was like, well, I'm working. I'll just leave the house 10 minutes earlier. I'll go buy donuts. And I started doing that. If I work on a Saturday and I'm making people come in on a Saturday with me, I'm buying donuts. Little did I know, donuts are expensive now. I was dropping $20 a time before. I haven't worked a Saturday in a couple of years. I went last week and I spent $40 on 2 dozen donuts. I was like, ooh, okay, all right, woo. I'm appreciative of my guys. I'm appreciative of my guys. We're going to buy, and I bought donuts again yesterday. That's a lot of money for donuts. But you know what? Everybody had a little pep in their step at 6:30 in the morning because they had donuts. And a couple of them were double fisting. It was great. But how are you serving? I want to put something out there for you. In our neighborhood, our neighbors know they can come to us. Our neighbors know they can come to us. We have some elderly neighbors across the street. She has dementia really bad, and she's not too good on her feet anymore. And he's gotten to a point where he can't pick her up on her own. And I've had phone calls. Mike, can you come over? She fell again. I will be right there. I don't even usually put on shoes. I just go across the street. I walk in. I'm like, well, come on, beautiful. Let's get up. And I help her up and help her in her chair. You know, that's a way of service. That's a big service. It's a big service. In fact, their daughter, whenever she's over and she sees us, she just gushes on us. She goes, I'm so glad they have neighbors like you. I'm like, why wouldn't I do that? Why wouldn't I want to be a benefit to my community? Something silly and simple that we do. Every year at Christmas, we pick a Saturday and we bake a ton of cookies. And then we walk around our neighborhood and we give them cookies. And this year, we were like a week later than normal because just the way life is. A few of our neighbors were like, we were really worried. We weren't getting our lemon cookies because those lemon cookies are amazing. I was like, well, thank you. Cassie taught me how to bake the lemon cookies. I've helped build stuff for my neighbors. They know I work in sheet metal. And the one day that one of our neighbors got a sprinkler system put in, and he was really worried about kids messing with the valves and stuff because it was right there on the street. He's like, would you be able to build a cover? I'm like, dude, I'll have a cover made for you today. And I went and built it and brought it back. I even painted it for him. I want to be a benefit to my community. Why do I want to be a benefit to my community? Why do I want to serve? Because I represent my king. I represent my king. I have an allegiance to a king, and I want to represent him well. I want to bring honor to his name, not the name of Greater Alton, not the name of Mike Denius, the name of Jesus Christ. And that is a huge distinction. When I was abroad, I didn't think about representing America. I didn't. I did think about representing Jesus. I want to represent my king well. Peter told us specifically, he said, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. I can be a benefit and I can serve by taking part in the community as well. I'm not telling you to go vote. I'm not telling you to go vote, but that is a way we can serve. I'm not telling you who to vote for. Honestly, I don't like anyone in DC. Get rid of them all. That's up to you. I don't like voting more than my bigger than my local election. I don't really like voting for people I can't walk up and shake their hand. Maybe some of you guys do. Maybe you have a political party that you are affiliated with. I do not. I have no horse in this race because I serve a king. But that is a way. That is a way we can serve. And no matter who gets elected, we got to honor them. We got to honor them. Because I fear God. And I want to be a benefit to my community. Last thing as we wrap up this morning. I'm going to keep it simple. Three things. So I work. God tells me to work. God tells me to serve. And the third thing is God tells me to pray. This is how I can benefit my community. I can work, I can serve, and I can pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verses 1 through 4 says this. First of all then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is a tough pill to swallow. Because I just said I don't like taxes. And taxes come from the government. And twice now we have seen that I'm supposed to honor the government. And I'm supposed to pray for the government. The people who are taking my taxes. But that's what Jesus tells me to do. That's what God tells me to do. I should pray for them. I should pray for them. When should I pray? Pray without ceasing. Who should I be praying for? Everybody. Everybody. Even the people you don't like. Pray for Iran. Pray for the United States. Pray for Israel. Pray for Poland. I don't know. Pray for everyone. Pray for the ICE officers. I said I wasn't going to talk about immigration, but it's a hot topic, so I figured I'd add them. Pray for the immigrants. Pray for the president. Pray for the governor. Pray for all members of Congress. Pray for Democrats. Pray for Republicans. Pray for liberals. Pray for conservatives. Pray for the inmates in prison. Pray for the drug dealers. Pray for the drug addicts. Pray for the rich. Pray for the poor. Pray for the people who are on Medicare. Pray for the people who have their own insurance. Pray for... I think I've hit everybody's hot button in what I just said. I don't think I left anybody out. I'm supposed to pray. I'm supposed to pray. I'm supposed to seek the good of the community in which I live. And if I'm not praying about that, am I really seeking it? Am I really seeking the benefit and the welfare of the community in which I live? If I'm not asking God to be involved, I'm supposed to pray. If I want to be a benefit to my community, I have to ask God to help me be a benefit to the community. I have to ask God to benefit the community. I hope you guys get the idea. I hope you get the idea that there's not anyone you shouldn't be praying for. Last school year, you know, there's drama with teens. And our girls got kind of caught in some drama. And they were really upset because it was really close friends. And they're like, we don't know what to do. We're kind of caught in the middle of everything. It's, you know what our advice to them was? Pray about it. Pray for both sides. Pray for everyone involved. Ask God to work it out. And I don't remember which one of our daughters it was. I have a feeling it was, I know, but the question was, what good will that do? Well, that's probably the thing that'll do the most good. Because you're asking the creator of the universe to get involved. The guy who made you and them, all people involved, who knows you intricately and intimately, to be involved in the situation. And that was last school year. It was a messy situation. There was a boy involved. And last week I got home and one of my daughters was like, hey, so-and-so came over and apologized and was talking about what she did wrong in the situation. And then we got to talk about what we did wrong in the situation. The situation is like, it's not the way it was before. And we told him it might not ever be the same way it was before. But God got involved because you guys asked him to. Because you opened the door for God to work. Because you prayed about it. I really hope you guys are getting the idea here. That God tells me to work, God tells me to serve, and God tells me to pray. And prayer shouldn't be the last resort. It's the first thing to go to. It's the first thing we should all be doing. Thessalonians tells us to do it constantly and without ceasing. It doesn't say specifically pray for your church or pray for your family or pray for your best friend or pray for your sibling or your spouse. It says pray for everyone, including your enemies. And as we close today, I want you to think about something. One, I want you to think about how dumb it is not to want the community you live in to be thriving. I want the communities I'm a part of to be successful. Selfishly, just put that out there, selfishly, because if the community I'm in is successful, then it will benefit me. But unselfishly, it'll also benefit the people who are a part of it. I want these communities to be successful. And I want you to think about this. When growing up, I went to a church, and as you left the parking lot, there were signs at every exit of the parking lot. And they said, you are now entering the mission field. You are now entering the mission field. I'm a foreigner in this country. When the church sends out people to foreign countries, what do we call them? Call them missionaries. You're not being called to a different continent. You're not even being called to a different state or a different city. You're being called to where you live. And you're being called to be a missionary. You're representing the king of a kingdom. And I pray that this week, all of us, me included, can live as missionaries of the king. Representatives, ambassadors. And that we can take the love the king gives to us and we can share it to the people around us. We can be benefits to the community that we're in. And that is what Jesus is calling us to be as strangers and aliens. We are called to be allegiant to him and benefits to our community. Albert E. Brumley wrote a song called This World Is Not My Home. And it goes, a few lines of it say this. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have to remember that I am a stranger, an alien, a sojourner, a visitor. That my home is a place I am going. This is just a layover. This is just a brief stop in eternity. But while I am here, I'm going to benefit my community and I'm going to remember my allegiance. I'm going to work and I'm going to serve and I'm going to pray. How are you fellow foreigners doing at representing our king in this world? This week, how will you as an ambassador of heaven represent our king? If you're somebody here and you're like, I don't know if I am a citizen of heaven. I don't know if any of this applies to me. I got good news for you. I got great news for you. You don't have to wait to figure that out. There are people in this room right now who would love to open up scripture, who would love to show you what scripture says about becoming a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. They would love to show you the forgiveness and the love that Christ has in store for you, the restoration that he can bring to you, and how you can be baptized, not only for the forgiveness of your sins, but entry into God's family, into as a citizen of heaven, and how you don't have to worry about death anymore. How you can realize this is just a layover. This is just a stop on your journey through eternity. And you can have everything that comes with being a citizen of heaven. And if you have questions about that, there's a communication card in your bulletin. It's just a way for us to get in contact with you or you to contact us, with us. There's a section for prayer. You can ask for prayer because we just talked about how prayer is important. There's another section where you can check some boxes. Maybe you want to know about how to be baptized and become a citizen. Maybe you want more information about this church. Maybe you want to have information about small groups. You can fill that card out. You can put it in the baskets in the back. We're going to give you time to fill that card out with a couple of songs. You're going to see our members put their offering in those baskets. That's a way we benefit the community here. It's a way we as a community can benefit the community around us too. But if you're a guest here, we didn't ask you to come to get something from you. Don't worry about putting anything in the basket. If you're a guest here, we hope we've given you something this morning. In a minute, I'm going to pray, and we're going to wrap up our service. There's a little special thing going to happen after I get down up here, and we'll be done for the day. I pray for you guys this afternoon that your air conditioner works and stays working, and that everyone stays safe in the brutal heat that is today. It's going to be a scorcher. It probably already is, but God has blessed us with cool air. Been blowing on me all sermon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, you are so good. You are so awesome. I praise you and I thank you for all that you do. I pray that this week we can be a blessing and we can remember our allegiance to you in every situation, that we represent you and we show your love to the people around us. Help us this week in the heat, when we're tired, when we're hungry. Just help us to focus on you, God. I pray for those who might not be a citizen of heaven, who might not be your children yet. I pray that you can work in our hearts and always point us towards you, and that if we need to, we can surrender to you, Father, and that we can become your child, and that we can be forever united with you. I love you, Father. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
For those of you that don't know me, my name's Matt. As you can see from the videos, all the pictures, we had a lot of fun this week. You know, we got to do a lot of different things with all the kids that came. And it wouldn't have been possible without all of the work from all of the people, all of the serving from all the people, kind of like Mike was talking about today. So this week we spent a lot of time just talking about following Jesus, the light of the world. We had a lot of fun, a lot of different things going on. So what we have now is a lot of the kids that were there are here, and we're going to sing a couple songs that we sang this week. All right.
Cheers.